9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's Louis Top Tens.
Summer lama, you assume I'm a human. What I gotta do to get it through to you? I'm superhuman, innovative, and I made a promise of anything.
One of my favorite topics that I never talk about, wrestling. Jade's here with me. We have three special guests. What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing all right, Fluent. Good to be on, man. Thank you.
So y'all don't know. So we have three guests. We're going to bring you guys each up one by one. I'm going to ask you to tell me your criteria and then give me your top 10 list of greatest wrestlers of all time. And like, people don't know this about me. So I'm going to give you a little story since you're on. I'll tell it to you, but everybody else who's listening later on. So when I was a little kid, growing up in Toronto, my dad used to sneak me into Maple Leaf Gardens. And you guys aren't old enough, but Maple Leaf Gardens used to have the worst setup. There was like the entrance, you had to walk up a couple of stairs, the wrestlers, and it was a flat platform that was even with the ring. And they'd walk across the platform to the ring. And we used to sneak in, and it was all like people could smoke in there at the time. And it'd be all smoky. And if you're too high up, you couldn't see anything other than smoke. So you had to like sneak your way down into better seats. And so I grew up watching like George the Animal Steel and Ricky the Dragon Steamboat and Macho Man, eventually Hulk Hogan. Like even those guys were later from like the original stuff that I started watching, right? Like to this day, I get flashbacks of George the Animal Steel eating the turnbuckle and his green tongue. used to drive me crazy. And I had all my cousins used to come to my house because, you know, the action figures, the like, remember the rubber one? I had all.
Oh, yeah.
I had the ring. I had the cage. And they had, like, one. And they'd come over with their one little dude, right? So this is something about, like, up until very, very, you know, like, as an adult, we used to do the pay-per-view. So there was a point, I think, when my kids were born where I stopped watching. So this is why I want to talk about your list, because there's guys on here that I'm like, yeah, I like that. And then there's other guys on here I'm like, hell no. Because you got one in your top 10 that I guarantee you most of the people don't even know what a fantastic wrestler he was. There's clearly someone who's missing from your list. I'm just going to let you start first with your criteria, and salute to the chat.
Absolutely. Salute to the chat. So my criteria is this. Listen, I'm just going to tell the chat straight up right now. There's going to be a severe lack of your favorite New Japan guys or your favorite Ring of Honor guys on this list. My reasoning for that is because I think it's an indisputable fact that WWF/WWE is the big time. I don't care who you are, Prime, TNA, AEW, I do not care how much of a fan you are of those companies. If you are in denial that WWF/WWE is the big time, I do not know what to do for you. So all of my guys on my list, it's a combination of in-ring skill, promo skill, impact on the business, and how much success did they have at the highest level, WWE. If your favorite wrestler, regardless of how good they were, did not have a huge impact on WWE, I am sorry, they will not be on my list.
And that makes sense, because people who watch our other shows will tell you, I don't care about Oscar Schmidt and how many points he scored in the Spanish league. He didn't play in the NBA, and the NBA is granted because they pay them. The NBA is the big time. That's where the best go. The best of the best are there. So that makes complete sense. So any other caveats? Are you ready to start?
No, the only caveat I would say is that, you know, as we always do in all of our PC wrestling episodes, there's always going to be people in chat that say, you're not talking about real wrestling. Wrestling is subjective. You like what you like. You don't like what you don't like. Just keep that in mind.
So for those already in the chat who are like, so it's a WWF list, not really a WWF list, because I see some guys from other places, but you could feel free to throw in some of I don't know the ones you're talking about, the world Japanese. I don't know those guys. So feel free to throw some of them in. But let's start with number 10 on your list.
Number 10 is a recent addition. He was not on my top 10 2 years ago, and he is on my top 10 now. And it is the Tribal Chief, Roman Reigns. Six WrestleMania main events. There we go. Six WrestleMania main events. Top three longest world championship reigns in history. Member of the Shield, one of the most impactful factions in the history of the company. Longevity, everything. Roman Reigns, number 10.
So when did he make? When did he get onto your list?
After this past WrestleMania, when I realized he beat Cody Rhodes, and if you understand WWE's booking, you immediately knew, okay, he's keeping this title another year because he's losing that title at WrestleMania. He's not going to lose it anywhere else. So once I realized after he beat Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania this year that he was going to hold that title another 365 days, it's indisputable at that point. It's one of the most dominant championship reigns we've ever seen on WWF television. So,
all right. Well, he gets another one.
Acknowledge me.
I like it. I like it. All right. So that's good. So give us the name. Tell us why. This one's one of my favorite because I feel like I got the tail end of his career, and I want to say he might have been like a commentator a little bit too. So number nine.
Number nine is maybe the last classic great wrestler, Bruno Sammartino. And no matter who slides in and out of this list, Bruno will never fall off of my top 10. He will never be lower than 10. If you don't go back and seek what he did, you're never going to know how great he truly was. He dominated the wrestling scene for almost his entire career. He had championship reigns that were longer than some people's lives. He was tremendous in the ring. He had one of the best physiques you'll ever see in wrestling history. And by all accounts, from everyone who knew him, was a class act and helped everyone in the business that he could. So all of that into account, Bruno Sammartino, always in the top 10, will never fall below 10.
I love the Bruno Sammartino pick. I actually love the fact that it's like the furthest he's going is 10. And that like you got to do what he couldn't do to ever come into that top 10. I like that. I like that a lot. All right.
Yep.
This number eight, I got to tell you, is one of my favorites, and not so much for the, and I'm not saying he's not a great wrestler. I'm just saying not so much for, but the on the mic presence for me. Like every time I listen to him cut a promo, I'm like, it was entertaining. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. And I'm learning more and more about this man on a personal level that I disagree with, let's just say. But when you focus in on the in-ring and the impact, there's no way he doesn't make your top 10. It's Y2J, Chris Jericho.
Can you hold on a second there? Because I want to. We got to dive into the personal, but first,
you just made the list.
He did. He just made the list. What personal? Out of curiosity,
ever since he left WWE and went to AEW, he developed this chip on his shoulder that I don't think he rightfully earned. Because he came into AEW as already a bona fide top 10 Hall of Fame wrestler of all time. And there was almost no one else that came into AEW with that record. So all of these other guys that came into AEW talking mad smack about WWE and wrestling with a chip on their shoulder, they earned that. Chris Jericho, I feel like, sort of invited himself into the club a little bit. And I don't like how he treats people on Twitter for having an opinion that is different than him, especially if it's like degrading AEW in some way. There's a way to go about that, and I don't like the way he goes about it. I don't like how he called out Bruno. Well, and it also goes into on a personal level after I don't know if you know anything about Brody Lee, but he was a wrestler for WWE for a long time, and then he went to AEW, and unfortunately he tragically passed away very young. And there were a lot of people that were mourning on Twitter in a very certain way for Brody Lee, and Chris Jericho for some reason took offense to that and started gatekeeping how people should be mourning Brody Lee. And that really turned me off of Chris Jericho as a person. But again, as a wrestler on the mic, on commentary, in the ring, he changed every time he needed to change. He never got stale. He understands the business, put people over when it was necessary. He's been a world champion in three different global companies, four if you include New Japan. There's just no denying Chris Jericho is a top 10 wrestler of all time, even if he's a bottom 100 human being.
because he blocked Goat Come from Philly. So I don't know what that's all about. I've never blocked anybody. I don't understand how they block. I've literally never blocked a single person on any social media site. I'm going to be honest with you on this next one. I don't really know him. Like, I hear his name a lot. I feel like I've seen him wrestle a little, but I definitely don't know enough about him. But I always hear, when we talk about the greats, I always hear this name. So make me more fluent, because I don't know him.
All right. So number seven, we move into the two-time Olympic gold medalist.
Oh, no, I jumped ahead. I was six. My bad.
Okay.
I know seven. I know gotcha. Seven. No, I know. It's true. Okay. It's true. I know seven.
It's damn true.
It's true.
Yeah. Yeah. So Kurt Angle, if you know who he is, needs no explanation. He's one of the greatest in-ring performers of all time. He was hilarious as a babyface. You look forward to seeing him every week. And then when he shaved his head and started the next stage of his career, it was the most intense wrestling you've probably ever seen in your entire life. Multiple great WrestleMania matches, multiple-time world champion, won the six-man Armageddon Hell in a Cell match, and a match that included Triple H and The Rock and Stone Cold all at the same time. And then, even though I'm not – if you want to include this in his criteria, you can – he went off to TNA and had an entire second Hall of Fame career. Kurt Angle has had two Hall of Fame careers, his career in TNA and his career in WWE. But just for his impact alone in the WWE, what he did for the Attitude Era and the Ruthless Aggression Era, putting on some of the best matches of all time, Kurt Angle's definitely got to be on the list.
And let's not forget, he was on my, not on, like on one of my shows, like on another list. Mm-hmm. Winning a gold medal in the Olympics with a broken neck.
Broken freaking neck. Yep.
Like not like actual, like not actual, you know what I'm talking about. Olympic wrestling with a broken neck. So anyway, for all of those, like you said, well, it's not real. Well, that was, and he, at the highest level, he won with a broken neck. So yes, Kurt Angle, I know. Number six is the one. All the stuff I said before, okay. Just rewind it back, and that's for him.
Rewind it back. All right. So this guy started his career in TNA. He was the face of TNA wrestling for the biggest part of its early run, back when everyone thought it might be able to compete with WWE. And then he went to New Japan when TNA started to fold. He didn't make it to WWE until 2016, but in his 7 years has already put together a Hall of Fame resume. It is the phenomenal AJ Styles. AJ Styles, again, just like Kurt Angle, would be on this list, even if it was just for watching him in the ring. The dude lives up to his nickname, Phenomenal. He's done things in the ring, even at an advanced age in his 40s, that you watch and go, how did he come up with that? How did he pull it off? Multiple-time world champion, multiple WrestleMania matches, tag team champion, mid-card champion. And then you take into account what he did for TNA and being the face that ran the place for all that time. If you're not familiar with AJ Styles' early matches in TNA, and Lewis will tell you this too, go find it and watch it. Early AJ Styles may be the single best in-ring performer I've ever seen in my life.
But that's what I just keep hearing. That's what I keep hearing. And every time I hear it, someone says,
That's not ridiculous to say that.
And I haven't done, I'll be honest, I haven't done the research. So I will go check him out because I didn't know.
Yep.
Can't hold it against me. I want to intro number five, because every time I talk about number five, I got to take a quick little break. So let's take that break before you say number five.
I drank a beer. I drank another beer. Three beers. Four beers. Five beers. Six beers. Seven beers. Eight beers. Nine beers.
Oh, man, that sounds like a good Friday night. All right, so number five.
Funny story about that, by the way. That promo took place in Jonesboro, Arkansas, which was 20 minutes from where I grew up. I used to go to Jonesboro two or three times a week, and Jonesboro was a dry county. And he cut that promo talking about how he went back to his hotel and he got drunk because he couldn't find anywhere to buy alcohol. So yeah, that was amazing.
That makes sense. So clearly we talk about Stone Cold at number five.
Yep.
Not that it needs explanation, but
no. Now some people may require explanation as to why he's not higher than five. I got to tell you, the top five is really just a mishmash for me. You could put these five in any order, really, in my opinion, based on what you like in your wrestling. But Stone Cold Steve Austin saved wrestling. Almost single-handedly saved wrestling. Who knows what would have happened if WCW had beaten out WWF in the 90s. But it was because of Stone Cold, his on-screen presence, inspiring the youth of the 90s. To flip off your teachers. Stone Cold Steve Austin saved wrestling. And for that, he firmly secures a spot in the top five. And maybe the only reason I have him at five and not higher is just because I think the other four guys are better in ring. And one of the guys just has way more accomplishments. But Stone Cold Steve Austin can never fall below five for me, because in a time where wrestling desperately needed a Stone Cold, he was there to provide.
All right, number four gets an intro, little video. Again, well, I'm giving it away, but it's okay.
Chimto! Cena walked into it.
Here it is!
Punch out from hell! Cena ducked underneath it!
Oh,
here it comes! He got him! The cover!
One, two, three!
Sorry, we had technical difficulties. I didn't see anyone except Terry Bradshaw getting flung around the ring, unfortunately. So I don't know what happened. My bad. But okay, to number four, uh-huh. It was supposed to be
the 16-time or 15-time rather world champion, John Cena. John Cena, just like Stone Cold, carried the company on his back for the entire time. And he did it for longer. And he did it without leaving. And he did it without complaining, which you can't say about Stone Cold, as much as you may love him. John Cena, what can you say about John Cena that hasn't already been said? And the thing I love about John Cena, Fluent, is that for most of his career, we all hated John Cena as wrestling fans, because he was the babyface. He was the hero that WWE thought we needed, but we did not want. He was always beating our favorites. He was always the main event when we wanted other guys to be the main event. He had the same five moves that he did all the time. But then something happened. In 2015, he started to drift towards more of a part-time status. And when that happened, not only did he start to play around with his moveset because he thought, what have I got to lose at this point? The crowd got behind him because they realized, oh, man, we're going to lose John Cena soon. We need to appreciate him while we got him. And so I think that John Cena, just from 2015 on, there's a lot of guys that can't match the career that he had just in that 8-year period so far. But then you take everything else into account, all the WrestleManias, all the world championships, U.S. champion, tag team champion, SummerSlam main events, Royal Rumble wins. My God, John Cena's done it all. And he carried the company for as long as he did. And he is number four on my list.
All right. And number three, another special place in my heart for number three. Because I had a friend who used to be able to do like his intro, like the entire, like the dance, you know, the everything he used to do. I used to be, and he was a lot shorter than me. I'm like a taller guy. And so I was his bodyguard. And once people understand, once you say who it is, you'll know. So I was Big Daddy Cool. So you can go ahead and tell him now. Number three.
Yep. Number three is the Heartbreak Kid, Mr. WrestleMania, Shawn Michaels. Shawn didn't have the number of world championship wins, but he had what might amount to three separate Hall of Fame careers, which is just insane. The impact that he had on the business pre-Attitude Era, phenomenal. You go back and you think about Shawn Michaels coming down from the rafters and his matches with Bret Hart and Razor Ramon, et cetera, et cetera. And then he goes away for a little bit, and then he comes back in the Attitude Era. And when you think about the Attitude Era, top three things that you think about: Stone Cold, The Rock, and D-Generation X. And Shawn Michaels was right there for D-Generation X. Then Shawn lost his smile. And then Shawn came back. And then Shawn had a rejuvenation. He had a renaissance in the late 2000s. And during that renaissance, put on what most people will call the two greatest, and in my opinion, the three greatest WrestleMania matches of all time. Versus Kurt Angle at WrestleMania 21, and then versus The Undertaker at 25 and 26. In my opinion, those are the three greatest WrestleMania matches, bar none, far and away, of all time. And when you are one half of the three greatest WrestleMania matches of all time, you find yourself in the top three wrestlers of all time, in my opinion. Not to mention one of my personal favorites, so very easy to put him up there.
Shawn, you know why, right? You know why, right?
Why's that?
I will give you a show like you have never, ever seen before. Why? Because I can.
Because he can. That's why.
Because I can.
No. Sorry, my lights just went out.
There we go.
Jesus. Sorry. Number two.
What else can be said? It's the Dead Man, the Phenom, the Undertaker. 21-0 at WrestleMania before he ultimately lost. Million times,
just so you know.
21-0 at WrestleMania before he lost. Multiple-time world champion. Royal Rumble winner. WrestleMania main event. Just like Shawn Michaels, had a career renaissance. And not just one, but two. Because in the Attitude Era, he was the sulky Dead Man walking around as the zombie type character. He had the ministry. He goes away for a while. He comes back riding a motorcycle, and he made that work. Badass.
Yeah,
and he made that work somehow. He goes away again, and then he comes back as a less devilish Dead Man, and he has another career renaissance. And any one of those,
I feel like he was in the WWF / E for like 50 years. Like, I just feel like he was always there.
He debuted in He debuted in 1995, and his last match in WWE was 2 years ago.
All right, well, there you go. 25 years. All right, so that's number two. I'm only going to speed you along a little bit because we're 3 minutes over time because we got two more people to do their top 10 list. So who is the number one greatest wrestler of all time?
The Nature Boy, Ric Flair. Woo!
He's profiling, airplane riding, limousine riding, stealing, Rolex watching, can't keep these gators down, son of a gun.
And I could run down his career accomplishments, but all I got to say is go to any wrestling show right now and see how long it takes for the crowd to start wooing. Ric Flair is wrestling.
I didn't have to add that woo for this show. That's already been on the soundboard. Okay, so there's your top 10. I'm going to run it down quickly. Number 10, Roman Reigns. Number 9, Bruno Sammartino. Number 8, Chris Jericho. Number 7, Kurt Angle. Number 6, AJ Styles. Number 5, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Number 4, John Cena. Number 3, Shawn Michaels. Number 2, The Undertaker. And number 1... Ric Flair. I'm going to have you back on in a minute. We're going to jump in, Lewis, and hear his top 10. Jade, I appreciate it. Stay right there. Don't go anywhere. Woo! That was a list.
Yeah, that was a list. There's a lot. The chat wasn't happy with a lot of his picks. You know, it's all right, Jade. I love your picks, Jade.
Well, let's see how they feel about your picks.
What's going on, guys?
All right. We've got some. I'm making my misses over here. All right, so let's jump right in. Number 10 on the list is interesting to
you
me.
Want me to say my criteria real quick?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I don't know if you can see in the back, but that's my wrestling gear. I'm a wrestler. So my criteria is just based on guys that I watch film on, guys that I've learned, guys that I can turn on and take something from and learn something from through the screen. Just guys that I have a great deal of respect for. So that's basically my criteria as a wrestler, how much I've learned from them.
So when you say in the ring, you're not, I feel like, because I'm looking at your list, and I'm going to say, unless I'm looking at the wrong list, no, I think this is yours. You sent me the picture of it, right? Is that yours? Yeah, that's yours. Okay. Yeah. So your list, so you're not talking about like technical wrestlers so much as wrestlers, like when you say you watch them in the ring, not necessarily technical wrestlers. Well, because I'm not seeing Dean Malenko, all right. I'm not, you know what I mean? Like I'm seeing wrestlers. So you mean full, not technical wrestling so much as their persona, their personality, and maybe their moveset, maybe
the whole package. That's what I got.
Because number 10 surprises me, because number 10 is kind of part-time, let's be honest. Always has been.
It is. Number 10 is Brock Lesnar. The reason why I have Brock Lesnar, when there hasn't been a rising superstar that has rose to the occasion much more than Brock Lesnar, one of the youngest superstars to ever rise to the occasion. There's nobody quickly who has gained a lot more legitimacy other than maybe like a Kurt Angle than Brock Lesnar. You look at Brock, not only does this man have the attitude to carry himself as a heel, but Brock knows how to put butts in seats. Brock knows how to sell tickets. Whenever Brock Lesnar's name is attached to something, it does money. Brock Lesnar is the epitome of money. So that's the reason I have Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar knows what he's doing. Brock Lesnar is one of the most underrated performers in wrestling history. And Brock Lesnar is just one of the most legit guys in the world of just sports entertainment.
Because when I saw that, the first thing that came to my mind was...
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Really? I understand your criteria. Okay. Number nine. I want you to know. Number nine. Like, we didn't... There was some mix-up with some people about greatest versus favorite, what list we're doing.
Yeah.
So I want you to know this guy that you're about to tell is number two. Number two on my... And obviously, this was... You can imagine this was later on because you know who he is. These guys don't know yet. But he's number two on my all-time favorite list.
Damn.
So he came in and became like my second favorite. There's one person who I'll tell you later who's my favorite that no one will ever move him from number one. But the fact that he came in so late as I was, you know, starting to stop watching wrestling, and I was like, that's my number two favorite all time.
Right. So number nine on my list is Randy Orton. I think Randy Orton, when it comes to his mic work, has become one of the most unappreciated wrestlers in the wrestling business. I feel like when they talk about Randy Orton, they talk about how great of a heel he was, how great his character was. But Randy Orton's mic work, like, he can hang in there with anybody. Not to mention, Randy Orton has one of the greatest heel peaks ever from, like, 2008 to 2009. He was the best heel in the world, arguably the best wrestler in the world. Randy Orton at nine is just how much dedicated he is in his craft as a character, of being the Apex Predator, of being the Viper. Randy Orton as a heel is, you can argue that he's on the Mount Rushmore for that. And Randy Orton is legitimate, and Randy Orton puts on great matches, great promos. Randy Orton has a great character, and he's one of the only guys that has never changed who he is. And that's why Randy Orton's on my list, because a lot of people have to change their shtick. Randy Orton has been the same guy throughout most of his career. So that's why I have Randy Orton at nine.
Well, you have to remember two things.
Right.
One, Randy Orton's dad wore a fake cast for about 35 years. I don't know how long that damn arm was broken. So I grew up watching his dad. So him keeping that same thing makes sense, because, like I said, his dad had a cast off for 30 years. Number two, what you didn't mention, one of my favorite finishing moves, because you can't jump into the pool without grabbing your friend and giving him a RKO.
Hell yeah.
Everywhere you go. So yeah, I'm all on board with Randy Orton. Okay.
Not to mention, one of the greatest theme songs ever. One of the greatest theme songs
ever. I was trying to get it. I was like, that's not it. It's like in my head. And I'm like, yeah, I'm crazy too. Yeah. So anyways, number eight
might ruffle some feathers, because to me, he's a little bit tough, you know, everybody's criteria to rank, but I have Triple H. Reason I have Triple H, almost the same thing with Randy Orton. I just felt like Triple H, when you talk about heels in the Attitude Era being legit, Triple H is literally right there. Not to mention, I also feel like a little bit biased, but him as a booker and promoter also helped elevate on my list, just because Triple H knows the business so well. But Triple H has done a great job at taking chances on people. Not only is Triple H one of the most legitimate heels of all time and recognizable faces in wrestling of all time, but Triple H knows how to make stars. And of course, Triple H, people have their opinions on Triple H, how he was back then. But Triple H is one of the greatest minds in professional wrestling on, you know, when to pull the trigger, not when to pull the trigger, to pick his spots as a heel. And not to mention how one of the greatest rivalries of all time with Shawn Michaels, like Triple H has so many classic rivalries. So that's why I got Triple H.
But no, and listen, again, don't forget when he came in.
Yeah.
Right. Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Hunter Hearst, Connecticut Blue Blood. Connecticut Blue Blood, man.
Was a gentleman. And he went from that to DX. Right. And pulled it off. Like we bought it. And then he has that. He's another, by the way, maybe because of, you'll know a little bit about my generation, having Motorhead as your theme song.
Yeah.
Like that's just like, I was one of the few guys that it played. I'm like, I know that. I know Motorhead. And he pulled it off. And then he's smart. He marries the owner's daughter. And there you go. And now he's controlling everything. So, number seven.
Shut your damn mouth.
Hey. Okay. we got some video on him. Okay.
A shorter distance to fall after you get this rock bottom.
Hawk comes up somehow, some way. And the Rock, is he going to do it? Not the third time.
The third time's the charm. Big one.
Another family generational shout out to his dad.
So man, Rocky Johnson.
Rocky Johnson.
Number seven on my list is The Rock. I think The Rock is one of the best sellers of all time. I think The Rock, in my opinion, top two mic worker of all time. There's literally nothing he can't do to make anything entertaining. And that's what makes The Rock so great, was he can take any little thing and make it entertaining. He can do any little thing and make you laugh. He can do any little thing and make you cry. The Rock is, when you think of a sports entertainer, that's literally the epitome of who The Rock is. Like, The Rock is the epitome of what WWE wants to build as a sports entertainer. So that's why he's at number seven for me.
And listen, and my son still gives me the people's eyebrow. I don't even know how he knows it, and he does it. So we're good with that.
Good with that? You sure you good with that, Fluid?
I'm a
that's a little opinion, you know.
Man, anytime you can hear, like, I don't know, the panel, my guy Ticket, you Rudy Poo, like, I know where he got that. He's like, you Rudy Poo
candy ass.
Like, I know where you got that, man. That's not original. But yeah, The Rock is legit. And again, another guy who was able to transform from face. Remember, Rocky Maivia came out and big smiling all over the place. And then he became the corporate champ. And he went through so many phases. So absolutely, I'm with it.
Talk about development. He got that. There's a lot of people. You talk about the most adversity. Aside from Roman Reigns, I don't think there's ever been a top guy like The Rock who has faced a lot of adversity in his career, being rejected by the fans into come out and be one of the greatest of all time.
I'm with it. All right, number six.
Number six, I have the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. To me, I know Jay talked about AJ Styles. AJ Styles is top two in-ring performer of all time, but to me, Shawn Michaels is the sole greatest in-ring performer of all time. Shawn Michaels is selling. Shawn Michaels is footwork. Shawn Michaels is storytelling. The way Shawn Michaels has the ability to be arguably the biggest match on the card without his name being attached to a world championship. Like, Shawn Michaels is what you want to be in an in-ring performer. Like, Shawn Michaels has the ability to make you feel something in the ring, has the ability to make you like hold your breath. And the stories that Shawn Michaels put, I mean, you talk about the rivalry with Bret Hart that completely changed the game. You talk about the rivalry with Triple H.
He screwed Brett. Okay, sorry.
Oh, you're Canadian. I forgot.
Yeah, that still hurts my heart.
I forgot, man. And then not to mention his rivalry with The Undertaker. Shawn Michaels, his rivalry with Kurt Angle. Shawn Michaels being Mr. WrestleMania. And
don't forget, one of the greatest matches of all time was him and Razor Ramon.
For sure. The ladder match is a
classic. Ladder match is, like, to this day, that's one of the, I don't remember much. I still remember that match. Like, that was incredible. And then he had my favorite. He played this song called Sweet Chin Music.
What a matchup between Martel and Moon. Kick to the chest area. Notice he
didn't. No, not Brett. Not Brett. Oh, Marty Jannetty, his own partner.
Razor Ramon. That's what we're doing.
That's when me and my friends stopped being friends. Big Daddy Cool, he was HBK, and once that happened, we called it quits.
Shawn Michaels, though, yeah, just just one of the rare guys that can be relevant without a championship, and he does a great job at that.
All right, number, where are we? Five. Number five.
Number five. Number five, I got the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. You talk about a man in a time where, you know, I'm going to be honest, there was a lot of charisma back then, but this man brought charisma to the golden era. Ric Flair, definitely, when he talks, you listen. When Ric Flair, being the dirtiest player in the game, literally embodying the character that he's willing to do anything and everything it takes to win and have that be just his overall character. Ric Flair, there hasn't been better characters. Like, you can probably count on like one hand who you probably take with Ric Flair as a character. Ric Flair's legit. Ric Flair's moveset was simple, but you just always have the urge, like, you hate Ric Flair. You know what I'm saying? Like, you wanted to like punch this dude in the face because he was screwing everybody over. And he just does the simple things right. So that's why Ric Flair's in my top five.
It's funny that you said you just don't like him, because I loved Ric Flair.
You loved him as a kid?
I wanted to go hang out with him. He was flying on private jets and riding in limos. And the next person is who I hated. The next person I thought was a punk. The next person I never wanted, like, if on the favorite list. I told you who number two was. Eventually, I'll tell you who's number one on my favorite list. If you flip it upside down, he was dead last.
Mm.
Like, I'm telling you, he was behind, like, Iron Mike Sharp, like Barry Horowitz. He was behind the Brooklyn Brawler, like, as favorites. He was behind all of them. This is my least. Your number four is my least. I get why he's there. I get why he's on your list. But he was my least favorite wrestler of all time. So without further ado.
Number four on my list, Jade. You know I love you, gang, right? You know I love you, Jade. Number four on my list is Hulk Hogan.
Oh, he just had a heart attack in the back room.
Ah, man. The reason why I have Hulk Hogan is this man was at one point the embodiment of professional wrestling. Everywhere you go, there was little kids screaming. Like, everybody was a Hulkamaniac back then. My mother was. My father was. And you probably wasn't. It's all good. But everywhere you went, it was nothing but Hogan.
I stopped taking my vitamins and I didn't say my prayers, all because of him.
Why did you say your prayers?
That's what I'm going to do, brother.
But I have Hulk Hogan. Not only is he one of the biggest box office attractions of all time, you could argue the biggest babyface of all time. But when he went to WCW and he had the greatest heel turn of all time, he was the best heel in the world. There's very few people you can say at one point in their career was the biggest babyface in the world and the biggest heel in the world. And Hulk Hogan falls into that.
I will say that we were for life. For life. Yeah, I still got the shirts. They're
throwing,
torn
throwing
up.
Throwing the sodas at Razor Ramon's face.
The NWO, okay. I didn't mind him then. I didn't mind him then. All right. Number three, your top three. We're starting to see a theme here, but number three.
My number three is Stone Cold Steve Austin, man. You want to talk about a man? Jade perfectly summed it up. This man saved the WWF. Like, this man, in my opinion, is the most popular superstar of all time. And to this day, Fluent, I don't know if you know this, to this day, like over two decades later, is still always around the top 10 to top five merchandise sellers. Like, this man, like, you don't.
He's got good merch.
He has great merch, great catchphrases, but this man. This man was the embodiment of what a regular person was. You walk in there, you whoop your boss's ass, and then you leave, you get paid, you do what you want. Stone Cold is literally the embodiment of the savior of the WWF, one of the most popular superstars, in my opinion, the most popular superstar. And Stone Cold was just cool, man.
It's kind of weird now to see him with a glass of wine.
Even though he went on record saying he don't like wine.
Yeah, he's caught. We caught him.
Number two, Jake, I got you. Number two is John Cena. I got you, Jake. Number two is John Cena. The reason why I have John Cena is what he did for WWE, being the face of the company for over 10 years. Whenever they needed him the most, he put the company on his back. John Cena has had some of the greatest moments, also some of the shittiest moments, but John Cena is the physical embodiment of WWE, especially in the Vince McMahon era. John Cena is the physical embodiment of one of the best professionals you will ever see in the WWE. John Cena is not only, you know, not his in-ring skills were above average, but John Cena, in my opinion, and I know there's a lot of Rock fans, but I think he's the greatest mic worker of all time. That's me. I think John Cena can go toe-to-toe with anybody on the mic. I think I think an unscripted John Cena is with the microphone is one of the most dangerous men ever. So John Cena at number two.
And I think the chat, I think the chat's got you pegged for number one.
Yeah, yeah. Chat's got me in the corner with number one. Number one is The Undertaker. The reason why I have The Undertaker is when we're talking about professional, I said the same thing about John Cena, but me being a wrestler and trying to, you know, dissect the game, Undertaker is who I want to be as a professional wrestler. You talk about a character that that never had a change, even though he did the American Badass. But when you talk about a character that never had a change, Undertaker never changed a thing. You want to talk about being a great in-ring performer? He was that. You want to talk about being a box office attraction without having a championship next to your name? WrestleMania, he was there. You couldn't go with WrestleMania without having The Undertaker. You want to talk about being one of the most respected men in the business, one of the most respected locker room leaders? That is Undertaker. Undertaker is what I want to be as a professional wrestler. Owning your character, being great in the ring, being an attraction, that's why he's number one in me.
Yeah, no, it's interesting because you say being respected, because there was, not to bring up the Montreal screw job, but there is a story where he shares it on Stone Cold's podcast where he's like, they all avoided him prior to it because they didn't want and after. They were like, no one wanted to let him know because his real name's Mark, I think. Yeah. They're like, we didn't want Mark to know because he would have kicked our ass. He would have like, that's respect. We're like, the owner and three of your top guys are saying we didn't want Mark to find out because he would have kicked us. That's pretty impressive. All right. So to recap your list: Brock Lesnar at number 10, mm-hmm. Randy Orton at number 9, Triple H at number 8, The Rock at number 7. Shawn Michaels, the Heartbreak Kid, mm-hmm. at number 6. Ric Flair at number 5.
Right.
Hulk Hogan at number 4. Stone Cold Steve Austin at number 3. John Cena at number 2. And The Undertaker at number 1. You're going to be back in you're gonna be back in 5 minutes. We're going to get Axel's top 10. Here we go. Axel.
Hey, yo. What's up?
What's up? All right. So we need to kick it off with with your criteria.
So for me, my criteria, and I see some people in the thing, you guys have to realize there could be so many wrestlers in someone's top 10 because everyone's criteria is different. And I think Lewis said that earlier. But for me, my criteria comes down to character, mic skills, the impact, their accolades, obviously, storytelling, and their in-ring work.
Okay. I'm looking at your list because you had given me another list of your favorites. And this one's less crazy. But y'all are nuts because I still see two names that should be on everyone's list and they're on no one's list. So I'm going to let you go with number 10. I don't think I know. Maybe I know him by a different name, or I don't feel like I know number 10. Is he a newer? Is he a younger guy?
No, he's an older guy. But number 10 is somebody I am new to thanks to AEW. Number 10 is Kenny Omega.
That's now, suspicious.
Now, for the people who don't know who Kenny Omega is, he wrestled more on the New Japan wrestling scene. Mm. He's more well known now because he's a part of AEW wrestling. He was one of the pillars that helped form the company, and his in-ring work is phenomenal. His storytelling is phenomenal, and he's just one of those draws that he's someone that once you see him, you want to see what else he's doing if he is somewhere else.
Okay.
And his accolades around different companies are insane.
All right. I'll have to look him up because I don't know him that well. Number 9.
Number 9. Number 9 is Chris Jericho.
You just made the list.
Okay.
And that being one of the reasons, because I say when it comes to character, this man could play anything.
Ozzy stinks.
Some of the songs are good though, but
no, they're not. Fozzy stinks. Well, there, I said it. Go block me. Fozzy stinks.
But when it comes to character, I can't remember a time where I wasn't interested in a Chris Jericho character. I mean, a little now, but he's just trying to make it last as long as possible. But everything. You just made the list, the stupid idiots, his impact of when he came back to the WWE two times. It's just, it's Chris Jericho. And I mean, the iconic countdown
thing was good.
The iconic countdown meter. You knew
that. That was good. That was good. That was good.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Number eight. Number eight broke my heart because as I said earlier, if you're listening, Randy Orton being my second favorite wrestler of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say when Triple H.
Yeah.
Broke my heart, man. That broke my heart.
And if you guys know where that's from, number eight.
If you don't know where that's from, you're probably bored out of your mind 40 minutes in. But yes, go or 45 minutes in. But yes, number eight is
the Animal Batista. Again, when it comes to character work, when it comes to impact, and also development, because if you know Batista earlier, he came in as a deacon. He was this devilish demon guy when he was in the development program, to coming to what he is now, the Animal, going face to face with Triple H, Randy Orton, so many greats, John Cena, winning all the championships he did. And then his storytelling was honestly great too, with his stuff with The Undertaker.
I thought you meant it was because now he's a Guardian of the Galaxy. Okay.
I mean, still kind of an animal. He's just a weird dude.
That's fair. At least he always tells the truth. Sure. Really? You two in your top 10? All right. Go ahead. Number seven, part timer.
Listen, I just want to say you didn't say that with Roman Reigns at 10 because now he's a part timer too. But number seven is Brock Lesnar.
He's always been a part-timer. He came in part-time. He's been part-time. He's going to be part-time.
But when you look back at the Attitude, not the Attitude Era, the Ruthless Aggression Era, there's nobody that really had a rookie year and came in as hot as Brock Lesnar.
I'll tell you this. If he hit that moonsault versus scraping up his face, I'd have no issue with him being number 10.
Listen, and that's fair, because that could make it all for somebody. That's fair. But storytelling, his impact, when he came back against John Cena and how he just destroyed him. This was Super Cena we're talking about. Nobody could beat John Cena. The accolades are insane, whether part-time or not. Before Roman Reigns had his long title reign, he was the longest Universal champion with like 500-plus days. But he deserves to be on the top 10. And if he was full-time, he would be a lot higher.
I agree. If he was full time, I'd be with you. Okay, let's do a little intro for number six before we get into your top five. Wow! I have to watch that all day. I don't know how many put in here. Oh, he's one more. My God,
my God. Like it says, number six is Stone Cold Steve Austin. When it comes to Stone Cold, when it comes to character, he was literally the normal guy at his job who just wanted to fight his boss. He did what a lot of people wanted to do, and that's the reason his character was so connected with so many people. And yeah, he didn't have that long of a career, but the accolades he did have, I mean, three-time Royal Rumble winner, so many WWE championships, the WrestleManias he's had with The Rock, the three-peats that he had with him. And honestly, he's one of the people that a lot of people don't talk about when it comes to mic skills. Granted, it's a few of the same things, but he can still go at it with the best of them.
I think anybody can, absolutely. So Stone Cold, I don't think anyone's I'm glad he did shave his head, though, because I do remember Stunning Steve Austin, and it was starting to thin at the top, but the back was still long. That was cool. number five. So your top five. Here we go. Number five.
Number five is another man who shaved his head, too. It's Kurt Angle.
But they wrote that into the storyline.
Yeah, I still don't know what the reasoning is behind it, but it still played as good. Like, ever since that, too, his character even grew higher with the you suck chance. But Kurt Angle, character-wise, being able to bring something that's really in his life to bring it into pro wrestling. Like you said, he won a gold medal with a broken freaking neck. That's real.
That's real. That's real.
That, the accolades. He literally still to this day has the debate for one of the greatest rookie years ever in WWE, coming in as a mid-card person and then holding both a mid-card and World Heavyweight Championship, being in the ring with Triple H, Stone Cold, The Rock. Somebody said, don't forget Rikishi. Rikishi was there too. And it's just...
Oh, yeah.
And then his wrestling is just amazing. Like,
Number four. Let me give you some... Like, get your hair to stand on end. Love that. I can literally do that all day long. anything to add on top of what the other guy said about The Undertaker? Because I want to bring everybody in. And is there anything...
Believability, because... The Undertaker was one of those people that always stood true to his character. So if you've seen him, he was still in character. So there were times where you thought he was really a zombie, a demon. The ways he would come on the TV, it's just, he really had you invested. Like, it may not be, but this guy makes me think it's kind of real, because some of the shit he does is crazy. Sorry for my language,
bro. Yeah, no, it's it was just... Undertaker, I don't think you're gonna get any arguments. Number three, you have him higher than everybody else. I like that, because I just told you he's my second favorite wrestler of all time.
Number three is Randy Orton, and a lot of reason has to do with how much pressure he had coming into this business, a third generation superstar. Yes, in the beginning he messed up, they gave him the world title and all that, but once he learned from that mistake, everything else is the legend killer. The other amazing WrestleMania matches that he had.
Killer. Yes. It's a capable punter head. Yeah.
And that's the thing. Back in 09, when he shaved his head, doing punting Vince, having the feud with the McMahons themselves, you were like, oh my, I thought Stone Cold could only do things like this with the McMahons, but Randy's doing it too. And his storytelling, he is still till this day, if you watched him in his real top rank, you hated him no matter what. Even if you knew it was scripted stuff, you still, he made you hate him.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. Number two.
Number two is,
you remember?
Shawn Michaels. HBK Shawn Michaels. I thought you were gonna play a clip.
No. I was thinking about it, but his is a long one. It's like,
I will give you a show like you have never ever seen before. Why?
Because you can.
Because I can.
I was trying to get throws.
And that's the truth right there. He has one of the greatest. You said him versus Razor Ramon, but him versus The Undertaker. Those matches, both the matches. Oh, you can rank either one higher.
Wait, is that the one where is that the one where he apologizes before he gives him the super kick, or is that Ric Flair?
No, that was Ric Flair when he says, "I'm sorry, I love you." That was Ric Flair. And even that's such a memorable. He's one of the greatest in the ring. He can literally have a great match with a broomstick. When he wants to, yes, he can be being asked, because we've seen him versus Hulk Hogan and doing what he did with that. But otherwise, it's Shawn Michaels. Everybody wanted to be a sexy boy. Everybody sung the theme song when they heard about it. Everybody was crotched doing the DX and all that. Uh-huh. And everybody was doing it. So.
And number one, I thought was going to be.
Shut your damn mouth.
But it's not. It is. Number one.
John Cena. When it comes
I can't see him at number one.
When it comes to everything, he is literally number one at Mike's. He can destroy anybody. I don't care. You can say The Rock, Stone Cold. If Cena literally has a live mic and can say anything he wants to, he can destroy you. His accolades, I mean, he's right there with Ric Flair. It's just whenever they want to really feel like doing it, he can do it. He can break the record. His impact, I mean, Hulk Hogan didn't make my list, but he is one of the people who, once you saw him, you got attracted to wrestling. Stone Cold is another. But I feel like John Cena doesn't get the credit he deserves to bring more eyes to, because everybody knew who John Cena was. Everybody knew about the white rapper on that was on TV. Everybody knew about him, and it brought way more eyes. His character, I mean, come on. He's the only wrestler ever to have a platinum selling album. And yes, that's one of the
ridiculous.
And that's the reason I bring it up, because it's crazy to really think that, because that was just for gimmick stuff. That was just for wrestling. But it. And then his impact outside the WWE and wrestling, it's just, he's honestly my GOAT.
Okay. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to run down your top 10.
Yep.
Jade, if you want to throw your camera back on him and bring on Lewis and Jade, we'll see if there's any ones that you totally disagree with. I'm going to give you like five or six names, because we can only talk. You get about 10 seconds each, guys. But let me give you first again. So number 10, the one that no one knows who he is. Number 10.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Kenny Omega at 10. Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho at number 9.
You just made the list.
Batista at number 8. Brock Lesnar at number 7. Stone Cold Steve Austin at number 6. Kurt Angle at number 5. The Undertaker at number 4. Randy Orton at number 3. HBK at number 2. John Cena at number 1. So, guys, I'm going to bring you in, and I'm going to ask you, I'm even going to invite Pat if they want to come in and call you guys crazy. So I'm going to throw a couple of names. I'm going to throw out a couple of names. So go. You said wait, what?
Because I've seen somebody say that some of these lists are favorite lists. Fluent will vouch for me that if it would have been my favorite, he would have been.
Definitely not his favorite. It's not my favorite list. Christian and Johnny Gargano. No,
I'll read you his favorite list. Number 10 was The Miz, so I knew he was crazy. Number 9, The Undertaker. 8, Stone Cold. 7, Brock Lesnar. 6, Randy Orton. 5, Triple H. 4, Seth Rollins. 3, Dean Ambrose. 2, John Cena. 1, Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy?
If that was my favorite list.
That was his favorite list. So I gotta ask because I told you Randy Orton was my second favorite wrestler of all time. My first number one favorite wrestler of all time will never be unseated. Dorian, I will bring you on in 1 second. Macho Man did not make anyone's list.
He barely missed my list too. Sting was another one that barely missed my list.
Sting was another one I was going to ask you about.
These top 10s are hard, man.
Macho Man, I'm going to stick to this one. Why did Macho Man not make it?
I just personally think I mean no disrespect. I just think with my criteria of me taking something and learning from these guys, I just think the other guys are just better.
Okay. For me, it was longevity. His peak was very short. He had a lot of injuries. He went to WCW, and that really tarnished his career, in my opinion, because WCW didn't treat him right. It was just longevity for me. But he's one of my personal top 10 favorites of all time. He'd have made my top 10.
Longevity, but these guys have part-time wrestlers on there. Okay. The second one on my list. I don't know how – if you are the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be, how you don't make a top 10 list.
He didn't have any personality.
Yeah, that's why Brett.
He was overshadowed by everyone in his era. He was a great wrestler.
Listen, but if this was a wrestling list, he would have been on it.
Yep.
Strictly wrestling.
All right. How about the first, the greatest, and the biggest, Andre the Giant?
He was.
All you had to do was slam him, and you became a superstar.
Andre is definitely one of the
Ultimate biggest Warrior monsters. Slams him, superstar. That's all you got to do. He put everybody over.
He's one of the biggest box office attractions of all time, but I mean, it's the same thing as Macho Man. Like rest in peace, Andre. I respect him, but I just think the other guys on the list are just better.
I'm going to throw out a couple of names because we're out of time. I'm going to let you two guys in, but hold on before you say anything. I might go a little bit late, so shout out to whatever show's on after me. Too bad. So hold on, guys. Let me just say this. Eddie Guerrero, I got a lot of Eddie Guerrero's and Bobby Lashley's in the chat.
Guerrero's top 15, Lashley's
Listen, one day remind me to tell you guys a story about Bobby Lashley that I can't share on air. I'm gonna throw out this name and then I'm gonna let Bulletproof and Dorian say their piece. And you don't have much time to say it, but my show should be longer than an hour. This went by way too fast. Is Chris Benoit disqualified from all lists and all history because
for
of
me,
this?
He is.
Me personally, yes.
Human being for that he ended up being? Okay. Because I saw that name a couple of times. I'm like, you can't do what you did to your family and anyone. Like, it's not like OJ.
It's disrespectful to his family's memory to glorify him in any meaningful way.
My thing is, if you expect me to respect your opinion on having him, you have to respect my opinion on why I can't.
Yeah.
And we'll be fine on that.
Name, and I was going to ask because I know that this might be a whole episode on what a sicko he is. But okay, so let me start with Dorian. Do you have someone that they've missed completely, or one that you're like, you guys are nuts for putting him in there?
Well, one, Hulk Hogan, just totally crazy. just totally crazy. I'm with Fluent on this. Okay, I'm with Fluent on this. Hulk Hogan, completely crazy. But real quick question: is there any way for I believe it was Jay and Lewis? any way for Randy Orton to be able to move up a little bit more on y'all list? Is there any way? This man walked out of Survivor Series talking about 10 more years. If he's able to give us 10 more years of good / great wrestling, what would y'all say?
He wins a couple more championships, has one more WrestleMania main event, and goes 10 years, he'll definitely be in my top 10.
Okay.
It's just for me, like, my list was just like me being a wrestler, guys that I can just really learn from. And like, Randy is at his point at his career where I've learned everything there is to know about Randy as a wrestler. So I don't think he'll go any higher. I think maybe you can intertwine him in Triple H, but Triple H edges him out of being a booker.
Man, I got him. I got him at number two. I'm from St. Louis. I went to Hazelwood East. He went to Hazelwood Central. I'm from St. Louis.
Rep your shit, dog. Hey, go ahead, man.
Bulletproof. You have 10 seconds. Okay.
Yeah, so the guy that is probably two on my list, and he's not on anybody here's list, because you guys talked about entertainment over in-ring, and I agree with that because wrestling is scripted, so entertainment comes first. So why doesn't anyone have Vince McMahon?
He's not a wrestler.
He's not a wrestler. He's a booker.
He's a showman.
He's good.
But you did give Triple H extra.
I was going to say that.
I did.
Who are we putting him?
I think Hulk Hogan is just Vince McMahon creating a guy. He could have made anyone Hulk Hogan, really.
I've said that.
I disagree. No,
I don't know about
Macho
that.
Macho Man could have been a better Hulk Hogan.
I agree with that, but that's like saying there could, like, anybody else could have been John Cena. Anybody else could have been
Randy. No, not John. Nothing. You are guys, but the first sports entertainment guy.
Hogan had presence.
I appreciate you guys. We are over time. We'll have to do a part two. Stick around. You can keep talking after this.
Nine, eight, seven, six, five, four, three, two, one.